From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. All eyes are on the state of Georgia as two critically important Senate runoff races are slated for January 5th and could decide which major party has a slim hold on the United States Senate. Republicans Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue are polling slightly behind Democrats Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. But polling for the November 3rd presidential and Senate races was significantly off. Republicans control the state legislature in Georgia, where they've had to both defend the integrity of the November 3rd race, which their president has repeatedly slammed, while encouraging their voters to participate in the runoff races. My guest is Anna Dennis, Executive Director of Common Cause Georgia. Welcome to the program, Anna.
Thank you for having me.
So the last time I spoke with you was right around the election. Votes were being counted. Georgia was one of those few states where everybody was on tenterhooks, wondering who would win the state. And of course, Biden went on to win it. Before we get to the Senate runoff races, let's talk about what has transpired in Georgia. Georgia seems to be ground zero for a massive internal battle within the Republican Party right now, with state GOP figures essentially having to defend their election work against their own president, who cannot admit that he lost in the state.
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing that inner fighting playing out. And really, I tell people that this has been like a ping pong between the Republican Party since our June 9th primary. So what we see is that President Trump did lose the election here in Georgia, and he lost by a small margin of no more than 13,000 votes. Because of the loss of that election, we have been doing a recount that had been triggered by a risk-limiting audit. That was something that of a provision that we had fought to have because we knew we were going to have new technology with our machines. But what's happened is that because there hasn't been a concession and Trump is still wanting to not letting a smooth transition happen and let democracy do its work, we see down in Georgia that there has been intermingling and fighting with the said parties of questioning the integrity of the election. We have a Secretary of State's office that is not nonpartisan in Georgia, that is Republican-led and ran, saying that, you know, even if there are more ballots that are so happily found or whatever, it will not change the outcome. We see that we have a legislature who just this past week has done hearings to actually hear from people on the ground who are challenging the integrity of the election. And then we have the President Trump campaign, who has did over 41 lawsuits across the country to really change the results of what the people have decided, and also wanting to change the slate of electors who determines our electoral college votes. And in Georgia, since 1860, we have been determining from the popular vote. And the popular vote here in Georgia went to President-elect Joe Biden. And so we will have Democratic electors for the Electoral College, but they are here in state challenging that notion that the electors should be chosen by popular vote and wanting the legislature to actually go against our actual constitution in Georgia to make provisions because President Trump is not willing to face the facts that he lost this election and the voice of the people, the voice of the popular, has decided that he is no longer going to be the president of this
Trump
country.
Trump seems to think that just because Republicans run the legislature of a state, it means that he should win. I mean, he's sort of had this approach throughout his presidency in various ways, that he feels that if he can control any institution with his loyalists. He should prevail. And I want to go back to what you were alluding to with the voting machines that were used in Georgia. There's a company named Dominion, which has now, of course, become known because Republicans have alleged that votes on using these machines have been changed. But news reporters have done reporting showing that swing state counties that used Dominion voting machines actually mostly voted for Trump. But they're theorizing that tech workers with this company went in to change votes that were meant for Trump to Biden, and they're citing Venezuela as an example. So what has been playing out in Georgia around these voting machines? Because it's a Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who has to defend the use of these machines and the integrity of these machines, the same ones which will be used in January, right?
Yes, yes. These are the same machines that will be used in January. These are new machines to our state, but these are also machines that the Republican caucus, the Republican legislatures, these are the machines that they actually decided on, that they wanted.
They picked them. For Georgia.
They picked these machines, and now they're saying that something is wrong with these machines. However, when we advocates, we gave options of different machines and different ways we can cross-check with these machines to get more clarity. And so what we came up with out of that, since we knew we were going to have these machines, is that we need to have a risk limiting audit. And that's what we did have. However, the contest that was chosen for the risk limiting audit, because the margin was so slim, like I said, the margin was a not more than 13,000 margin of victory when it came to the ballots. So since we had that margin, we had to do a whole recount of our ballots in Georgia. And then we had to do another electronic recount after we did a hand recount of our ballots. So we've had three counts of our ballots, and still the Trump campaign and Republicans on different sides of the spectrum, because this shows us how this campaign and this election has folded out, that the Republican Party is also not a monolith, come to find out, that they have different spectrums of thoughts of how elections should be ran and who should be winners in of a contest. We see that they're doing this infighting because they're trying to create a lack of integrity and a lack of confidence in our new machines, in our election officials, in the way that our elections are handled in Georgia, and also a lack of confidence in how people actually voted in Georgia. So this is definitely problematic. And I tell people that this is a dog and pony show, and that it's becoming like a circus, which should not happen with our elections. Our elections should not be partisized. Our elections should not be a circus. And this election should not be a way to bankroll a political election campaign debt, because that's what's happening as well, which people probably don't know about, is that, you know, Trump has created a PAC and is fundraising off of these efforts, but that will clear his election debt. Right. And that's actually here on the backs of everyday people, because our taxpaying dollars is going into all the recounts, the hand count, the recount, the audit, the recertification, and for this runoff. So in Georgia, we're ready to get back to business and show the world how our elections work and how democracy prevails at this point in time.
So at the same time that Trump is desperately trying to overturn the election results in Georgia, Republicans, both at the federal level and the state level, are desperately trying to ensure that their party wins the Senate races on January 5th. It's come to the point where Georgia has become the place where Republicans get to choose whether they want to be on the side of their party or their president. Let's talk about the two races in January. The two Republicans, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, running against Raphael Warnock. Loeffler is running against Warnock. Perdue is running against John Ossoff. Let's take the race between Loeffler and Warnock first. Raphael Warnock is someone who's come under very negative attacks by Loeffler. And the latest poll shows that he has a slight lead. He is a fiery, passionate African-American who has, I believe, a clergy background. And it seems as though Kelly Loeffler's attacks on him might be backfiring. What do you think?
What I can say about this, the sentiment of Georgians, is that we are honest, good people, and we do believe integrity. And what we've seen in the dog whistle politics, the backdoor approaches to demean someone's character, is people are really tired of it. And we let the record show for what it is. The Loeffler campaign is doing, you know, smear campaigns that is highly just inappropriate, especially because, you know, they should really, you know, people are saying, you know, didn't they do like some type of like, you know, Ponzi scheme to insider trading? Like, and you're coming after a pastor that really, you know, leads his people.
Are you referring to David Perdue's stock trading? So he's the other Republican in the race
I'm referring to Loeffler and Perdue. You know, their incidents of trading, it's being investigated by the Senate Ethics Committee. So a lot of people are looking at these things, and it just isn't sitting right with a lot of constituents. As of date, there has been over 700,000 folks who have already requested their absentee ballot for the runoff election. There are thousands of folks and hopefully millions of folks who will show up during early voting and or election day to really make their voices heard, that, like I said, the voice of the Pupila will be heard, and they have spoken. And so that's where we are with the runoffs. There has been a lot of activities, and a lot of people are watching, and a lot of people are not liking, you know, what they're seeing from certain parties, because it doesn't seem like the parties are working in the interest of their constituents, but more working in the interest of themselves.
Now, Anna, it seems as though the vote for Joe Biden, which was only about, as you said, 13,000 more than Trump, largely came from cities like Atlanta, where you have a concentration of Democrats. And Atlanta just held a special election to fill temporarily the seat of the late Congressman John Lewis. There's been a lot of election activity in Georgia. You folks have been busy. So yes. Kwanzaa Hall, who is who won the seat that was vacated by John Lewis, what did that election tell you about what we might expect in January? Because there are, of course, concerns of around turnout.
Yeah. So with that, the late Congressman John Lewis's seat, we went to a runoff regarding that election. We initially went and voted on that election. And I say we because I actually sit in that district. Mm-hmm. So I voted that district. We went and voted for that contest in, you know, September 29th. And then on election day, we knew that the contest that we were voting for was not to fill the late seat. It was for the new contender. And so Congressman-elect Nikema Williams, she won that contest, but we knew we had to show up again. But I will say that, you know, in Georgia, people have voting fatigue at this point. I tell people we have been in an election cycle where we would physically need to go cast our ballot since March.
Wow.
And because of the pandemic, that changed some things where we were supposed to be voting in March for our Super Tuesday, which was supposed to be held on March 24th. And then things got pushed back to May. And because of the pandemic, all of our elections, our state, local, and federal primaries were all pushed to June 9th. And then we had a runoff on August 11th. And then we had a special election on September 29th. And then we had early voting that started.
I'm exhausted just listening to this. Wow. Yeah. And then January 5th.
We had election day and then another runoff.
Wow.
And now we have January 5th. So with that being said, we've had like six elections. So I will say with that one contest, I do believe it's an anomaly and it doesn't really showcase what will happen on January 5th. Because of the numbers of how many people who have already requested a vote by mail absentee ballot, which is already as of last week was 700,000 folks. So that lets you already know that you may have a high percentage of at least 200,000 of those ballots are going to come back for that contest.
Now, when is the deadline for registering for the January 5th election for new voters?
So for new voters, the deadline is December 7th.
So coming right up in just, well, by the time some people hear this interview, it'll be possibly past that deadline or on the deadline itself. So what has the activity been of voter registration groups? I sort of want to ask you a twofold question. Voter registration groups, particularly Black-led voter registration groups, have been extremely effective in Georgia. And I understand that at the time that Republicans are accusing, well, Trump, I should say, is accusing Georgia of, election fraud because he didn't win. A group of organizations, including Black Voters Matter and Rainbow Push Coalition, sued the state of Georgia for what they say is an illegal voter purge of 200,000 voter registrations. So rather than voter fraud that Republicans are saying Democrats engaged in, is it possible that Republicans engaged in voter suppression before the November 3rd election?
So, when it comes to list maintenance, our state does list maintenance, which can also be called voter purging, but they do clean up the list. However, before 90 days before a federal election, no one is removed from the rolls. And that's with our state law and then bumping up ahead against our federal law that 90 days before a federal election, no one's removed from the rolls. However, we are monitoring to make sure that list maintenance did not happen because there were potential backlogs. So I heard about the case from the Rainbow Push Coalition's attorneys this morning. So I wish them well, definitely on the case. And I hope that it really shows that our state needs to have equal protection for all voters and create more equitable access to the ballot for voters, and that we need to do stronger voter education campaigns instead of creating task force around fraud or doing investigation to voter registration groups that you think may be registering voters who are illegal voters because they're not within, they're not citizens of the state, instead of targeting folks who are registering people who are actually legal citizens of the state and that actually can vote in the state because maybe they are domiciled because of COVID elsewhere. That doesn't mean they're still not a resident of the state. So we really charge folks to really question what the state is doing about educating voters around list maintenance, around having more equitable access to the ballot, and making sure that we can keep voters on the rolls and not discourage people from voting and not discourage people from having equitable access to the balloting process.
So what do you make of this lawsuit? Is it possible that there were people in Georgia whose voter registrations were illegally purged, as these organizations that are filing this lawsuit have said?
Because I have not read
the
claims, I have had a briefing with the attorneys for that case, but I have not read the claims myself. I don't really have further comments on it because I have not, read it myself.
And we know that in 2018, of course, Georgia became famous for the gubernatorial race and how it was conducted when then Secretary of State Brian Kemp was running the election that he himself was a gubernatorial candidate and ended up winning that race against Stacey Abrams, who has, of course, been one of the instrumental figures in helping to get out the vote for the November 3rd race. So moving ahead then to the January 5th Senate races, I imagine that one of the election fatigue issues plaguing Georgian voters is a huge amount of election-related advertising, probably bombarding you from every corner of the internet, radio, and television as well, right? There's Democrats and Republicans pouring money into the state.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of attention down here in Georgia. Like you said, Georgia's on everybody's mind. It definitely is. And we definitely can tell, especially just being in a city of Atlanta resident and a Fulton County resident, we get phone calls, mailers, door knocks. It happens every day. But, you know, as a voting citizen, I don't mind it happening because it's actually still getting me the critical information that's needed for me to know what's happening in the election. Because right now we're facing something where, because this is a runoff and this is a special election, we're facing not having instituted, you know, Saturday voting. There are some counties that are going to end their early voting time on the 30th. There's some other counties that are going to end on the 31st. The last day of early voting falls actually on a federal holiday. So offices are closed on that day. So we're bumping up ahead of that. And when folks are receiving this information from advertisements, radio ads, mailers, door knocks, I always just think they're on the front line of giving me the correct information at this point in time, because there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. And so clarity is always definitely needed. So I do thank them for their work, even though they're coming to my door.
But you're politically engaged. I'm wondering if the average Georgia voter might be turned off.
I have heard of voters being definitely turned off. For me, being a working mom, it can be a bit much, especially if I'm trying to work, I'm trying to nurse, and someone's knocking at my door. Mm. And sometimes it's happening during a nap time. And if anyone knows, if you are within year 1-2, those nap times are super important.
Oh, like, yes, I remember.
Do not disrupt the nap. So it can be a bit much. But I do think that with Georgia, we have to also remember that it can be a little frustrating. But when groups are doing this type of engagement, it's because, one, we're living in COVID, so we have to touch people in a different type of way. This election is so critical to, you know, the needs of what we have in Georgia when it comes to, like, the funding of our healthcare, the funding of our education. So many things are, you know, so many critical, necessary things that we need but come from those Senate races. So I know that folks are getting overwhelmed. It can be frustrating, but I don't mind it. And also, I always remind people that the landscape of Georgia voters is very different. You have some folks who don't have internet access because internet costs money. So we have Wi-Fi deserts, and it speaks of privilege if you can actually have it in your area. We have some folks who don't have reliable transportation. We have folks who don't have access to TV and that may have radio. So when folks are doing those ads, they're doing it so they can touch every type of Georgia voter.
And as you were saying, in terms of what's at stake is Mitch McConnell retaining control as Senate Majority Leader of a Senate that he has set the agenda for over 4 years, packing courts, our federal courts, with conservatives refusing to allow legislation that's in the interest of ordinary Americans, even during the pandemic. So much is at stake. Now, we talked about turnout. I imagine Republicans are also terrified about turnout because people like Sidney Powell, a former Trump campaign lawyer, is actually encouraging Republicans, or Georgians, but I'm imagining it's Republicans who are listening to her, to not vote on January 5th because she's worried about those Dominion machines. And of course, I imagine Democrats are saying, go Sidney, because if she's out there, and this is a QAnon conspiracy theory believer, if she's out there discouraging Republicans from showing up to the polls, it could hand these elections to Democrats, right?
Yeah, it can hand elections to the Democrats because if you when you abstain from voting, that gives a vote to whomever the victors will be. And usually the victors are the ones who are up in the margins before election. So that's a folks' personal choice if they decide to stay at home. But I do think what it also opens the door to is actually a legal claims around equal protections around the voting process. So I think there's another strategy that's ahead that's happening there as well.
And so, if people want to support the efforts of voter registration groups in Georgia, if they have an interest one way or another with one party or another, are there recommendations you can make for where they can support groups,
Yeah.
or is it enough? I mean, it might be that Georgia groups are saying, "We're good. We don't need any more money or effort. Just let our system play out."
I will say on the C4 side, because I'm, solely nonpartisan with the
Right.
work that I do with Common Cause, I don't know what the accessible needs are for the, the political party side, but I know with the C3 side, we
Which is
are
a
still
nonprofit arm.
heavily, the nonprofit arm, thank you. We are still heavily, fundraising for our programs, because what we tell people and what we do for Election Day and before Election Day, we are out in the field. We are monitoring the elections. We're having critical conversations for with election offices to assess what they actually need. Do they need more poll workers? Do they need more folks who are going to be on the team to survey those absentee ballots? They need more folks who are going to be looking at the provisional ballots. They need more folks to actually get voter information out. So I always tell people we actually still need more funding to do the critical work that we do before Election Day, during Election Day, and after Election Day. Because for us, January 5th is not the end. We still have the certification period that happens
I
through
see.
January 8th. So we will still be on the ground. And that means that we have to have capacity to pay people to do this work because I was, we're actually doing this during holiday season. And so a lot of people would like, to stay at home at this point in time. Like I would like to stay at home and celebrate Christmas with my daughter, but most likely the day before Christmas and the day after, I will actually be in the field doing work just because, we need capacity and bodies out there to give people the right information. Because like I said, there are some areas who some counties that are saying their last day of early voting is going to be on the 30th. Some that are saying it's going to be on the 31st. So there isn't much clarity and there isn't consistency with that. So we have to make sure that we are boots on the ground. We have to make sure that we are like social media warriors out there giving out correct information. And we need to show up for each other in our community to make sure that we are doing what we can to be a part of moving Georgia forward. And so that's going to be our goal. So if people would like to continue to support, send moral supports out there, send your virtual hugs and your warm wishes, but also you can send your dollars or anything that you would like to give to these organizations. We're Common Cause Georgia. We're accepting donations. There's also, our Go Vote Georgia Coalition as well. So yes, any help is always necessary, and the work definitely continues to fuel the funds, fuels the work that we do on the ground.
Anna, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to
Thank
you.
you.
Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Anna Dennis, Executive Director of Common Cause Georgia. We've been discussing the political landscape in Georgia ahead of the two critical January 5th Senate runoff races. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.